Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And Father, today we thank you for your blessings, and we ask, Father, that you would touch hearts and lives today as the word is shared with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we have a special guest with us, Dr. Leland Hill. Dr. Hill and I have known each other for many, many years and have worked together over the years, co-pastored together, and I'm glad to have him as our guest speaker today. Now, this is actually one of his classic messages. You know, they use that word classic for an older message. But this is a message that we felt needed to be shared with you today. How many kinds of churches are there? Let's join Dr. Hill in service.
I'm going to talk about how many different kind of churches are there this morning. How many different kinds of churches are there? Well, boy, there's Methodist, Baptist, Assemblies of God, Presbyterian. Now, I'm not talking about denominations. I'm not talking about labels. But I'm talking about what kinds of churches are there this morning. Oh, man, this thing. We're in the last days. How many realize we're in the last days? I mean, did you know that Jesus is coming soon? Now, a lot of churches aren't teaching and preaching the rapture anymore. They say it's an outmoded doctrine. Well, I don't know where you can find outmoded doctrine. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is the same. And there is a rapture coming. Are you going to be ready to go? Say, you know what? I don't know what happened, but you know that off-color glass that we had? When we put it in there, it's exact same color as the rest of it. Isn't that neat? Praise the Lord. Praise God. I just thought I'd point that out to you. Would you do me a favor and turn with me to Deuteronomy? Yeah, Deut. Well, that's kind of how it looks on my, you know, Deuteron. That's what it is. They on my little markers, they never can spell the whole word. It's Deuteron. Deuteronomy, chapter 13. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your blessedness today, your mercy, your grace. My, what a display of power we have seen in this service already. And it's not over yet. We thank you that now there would be that anointing on the word, the lips of clay to deliver the anointed word. We just pray that you would move in a mighty way and challenge hearts here this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. How many kinds of churches are there? There are churches that are playing church. It's like a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible says, from such turn away. But we're living in perilous times. Naomi Taylor's grandson was walking down the street the other night, and some people in a car just pulled up, shot him and a friend walking to the barber shop. We have those kinds of perils that are going on in our daily lives. But there are spiritual perils out here. Not every church is a place you ought to attend. There's a church on every corner. But I wonder how many good, solid relationships are in those churches spiritually with God. They say, well, now do you think that this church is the only church on the face of the planet? No, but it's one among. It's not the only church. But maybe you'll get the drift as we begin to share with you the word this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 13, we're going to talk about the counterfeit church. Yes, there is a counterfeit church. There is a counterfeit Christianity in our midst today. And it very plainly makes a statement here. Deuteronomy 13:13 says, certain men and the children of Belial are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. And I want you to know that this is a church that goes back into Baal. And this Baal church is very alive today. It has disguised itself, and it's very hard to know where it is. And the only way you're going to know where the counterfeit church is to study the Word of God, realize its truths, and get some knowledge. You don't just accept everything you hear and see. You're going to have to use the gift of discernment. People say, well, you know, I just don't know if I believe in that Holy Ghost Pentecostal stuff, that speaking in tongues. Well, that's not the only thing. There's many ministries in Pentecost. And we have harped on the tongue long enough, but there is wisdom and knowledge and discerning of spirits. There is faith. There is the powerful working gifts of the Holy Spirit that we need in our lives today, my friends. You're going to need the operation of the Holy Spirit in your lives between now and the sounding of the shofar or the trumpet. Because you're going to get yourself in trouble spiritually. Well, now how can I do that? By going to church. I know a church down in Texas. Man, you think I'm hard on you. That preacher just tells people to get them, walk out. I mean, he says, if you don't believe, just get out of here. My goodness, I don't know how. And he's got a large church. I don't know how he does it. But he speaks what is true. And people realize that and sense that. And to find a church speaking truth, they're not that plentiful today. Then there, if you look into the 2 Thessalonians, I think on my little markers it says 2 Thess. Oh, it's Thessal. 2 Thessal. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. There is a counterfeit miracle church. Well, my goodness. What do you mean, counterfeit miracle? These are miracles that take place. Just because there is some preacher that you're seeing miracles happen, you don't just run there and believe he's of God. Time has told us that there has been those who have set up fake miracles with the idea that if they see a fake miracle, that's going to stir their faith for a real miracle. Can you show me that in the Word? If you can, you show it to me, because I haven't found that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I could come up here and I could go to some magician somewhere and I could perform a miracle, what would look like a miracle to you, and I could say it was a miracle of God and it's nothing other than a trick. That's not going to help your faith because I perform a trick up here. Just because I would rig the altars with electricity that when you bow to them you feel a vibration and you think it's God doesn't mean that's going to help you with the things of God. You say, well, now I've never heard of that. Well, I have. I met the guy that formulated how to do that. He did it innocently because he was tricked by a preacher. He says, we got a big organ, and he says, you remember how the old pipe organs used to vibrate the church and how it vibrate the pews? He said, that's what I want to do. This man was a Hollywood stunt man or a technician. And he says, how can I rig the pews? Could that be rigged to where they would vibrate when you hit the low notes on an electric organ? He says, yeah, I could do that. I talked to this man personally, this Hollywood man. And he says, I was so mad. He said, I went to a convention. And he said, I went to one of the booths, and there they had rigged altars to where you bowed to them. They vibrated. He didn't want the pews vibrating. He wanted the altars vibrating. So when they got down there, he'd lay hands on them. Somebody throw a switch, and they thought they were feeling God. Well, that's counterfeit miracles. Bible warns us that's going to take place. He says that's going to take place. And it comes right out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. And here's what it says there. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Lying wonders. These are false wonders. Lying. They're a lie. But also there can be inspired by satanic forces, signs and power. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. Who's sending strong delusion? God is. God says in the last days there's going to be a shakedown of truth, and God's going to send you strong delusion. Well, why would God do such a thing as that? Because he's getting ready a church without spot or wrinkle. He's getting ready a church that is being ready to be raptured out of here. And there is a shifting going on. There is a sifting going on. There is a shaking going on. And there is delusion out here in the spirit. And if you're not on top of it by the word of God and by Pentecostal power, you're going to be deceived.
I say, well, boy, those are harsh words.
I'm not done with this yet. It says, I'll send you strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. You've got to be a truth seeker today. You know what's really sad? We can't believe our politicians anymore. They won't tell us the truth. We can't believe the law anymore. It's sad when a murderer is caught committing a crime of murder, and the law will get him off on a technicality so he can go murder somebody else. On a technicality. Maybe the officer forgot one of the words in the arresting formula. Isn't that sad? He says you got to look for the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. People have pleasure in unrighteousness today. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You are sanctified to the truth. You should have a strong desire for truth. That ought to be your strong desire. That is the counterfeit church and the counterfeit miracle church. Then we have the ear-scratching church. Find that in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 4, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The ear-scratching church. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's verse 3. Actually, I should go up to 2. Preach the word. This is a challenge to the ministry. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all this longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, I think when I'm going shopping for a church, I think that an interesting terminology. I'm going shopping for a church. Like I'm going shopping for a suit or a dress. I'm going shopping for a church. You know, it's not a bad idea to get down on your knees and ask God to send you to a church. But you get into a church, friends, that are ear scratchers. There are people that will not go to a church that will tell the truth because they don't want to know the truth. They want to believe something that's out in space somewhere. And so we've got preachers today that have developed doctrines on this. Now, we make statements like, today is a day that the Lord hath made, we shall be glad. You know, that's scripture. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a philosophy today. There are schools of ministry. Schools of ministry that will tell you how to present yourself before a crowd. God is so good. He loves you today. And that's about all you get out of the entire message. Yes, God loves you. He cares for you. But I'm going to tell you something. He also has something to say to you. And I have listened to some preachers over and over and over again. And of course, there are people that can find fault with my ministry. I'm not perfect, you know. I wish I was. I'm busting your bubble. I understand that. I'm not perfect, I confess. Oh, well. But I get tired of hearing some preachers. And I heard him preach a message 15 years ago, and every time I've heard him preach, and the most current message I heard him preach was the same message. God has a greater vocabulary than that. And there are people that do not want to believe that the end of time is coming soon. So they don't want to go to a church that's going to tell them, you better get your act together because Jesus is coming soon. Well, you see, I just have a lot of things I want to do before the Lord comes. Well, if that's your attitude, the Lord will probably let you do them and not even let you know when he comes. See, in my Bible, I remember a story. It talked about there was a man, a Lord, who he prepared a great dinner. And he says, I want you to go out. And he says, I want you to bring the men. And one by one, they begin to make excuse why they couldn't be there. And they came back and they told the Lord of the meal. They said, look, we went out and we went through the guest list and they all had excuse one by one why they couldn't be here. You know what he said? He didn't say go out and tell them to come back in. He says, I want you now to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. He opened the door to everybody. And sometimes I feel like we that attend church every Sunday, sometimes we just take it so for granted that we're not even appreciative of the word anymore. And one by one we make excuse why we cannot be in the house of God, or we're too tired, or it's just such a problem to get there. And then we don't appreciate it. And God says, all right, let them go have their excuses. But there's others out there that are hungry. Because it's easy for us to do that, man. There's times, there's a little joke about the guy who was sleeping in on Sunday morning, and his mother went into him and says, son, get up, you got to go to church. He says, I don't want to go to church. He says, what do you mean you don't want to go to church? He says, just what I said, don't want to go to church. He says, you got to go to church. He says, I don't have to go to church. He says, yes, you do, son, you got to get up and get yourself ready and go to church. He says, you know those people don't like me. He says, I go there every Sunday. He says, they don't like me. They don't appreciate me. Nothing like that. Says, son, get up and get yourself ready to go to church. He says, well, he says, I don't know. The church is so dead. He says, I just don't feel like I want to go to church. Says, son, you're the pastor. Now get up and get ready and go to church. Well, now sometimes, you know, I feel the same way. There's times I wake up and I think, oh, Lord, it's Sunday again. I know how that feeling is. But my goodness. And I went to church one time. We didn't go there very long. But we went to church one time. And that was back in my formulative years. I mean, that was before I even had a Christian worker paper, you know. I mean, this was when I was just so wet behind the ears. My ears were dripping, you know what I mean? And I was just being called into the ministry. Well, we had a pastor that came when he decided he wanted to. And he decided not to more than he did. And the phone rang. I mean, we'd all be gathered at the church. Like you come in on Sunday morning, 9:40 or 10:40, we start morning service. He would, at 10:30, he'd call, the phone and ring. We'd all be ready there. He wouldn't even be there yet. He'd say, well, I don't feel like coming. Says, would you ask Brother Hill if he'll just give a message? Here's somebody dripping behind the ears, so green in the ministry, for me to get a sermon in 10 minutes and deliver it. That's what I had to do. He just decided half the time not to show up. Well, how would you like to have a pastor like that? I'll tell you what you'd do. You'd say, it's time for a new pastor. But those in the pew pull that trick on him all the time. Oh, well. Verse 4. It says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. My word, it says in the last days that people will turn their ears away from the truth. I think that's sad. Do you know there are churches feeding on this? Hey, they don't want the truth. I know how you can get a big church. You just do such and such and such and such. I can tell you one thing. I've counseled with many ministers and so forth, and they've told me how to grow a big church. And finally, I had to decide, I got to quit going asking people how to build a big church. You know why? Because every one of them had men's ideas about it. They didn't have God's idea on it. I mean, hey, if they don't want the truth, don't preach the truth. Just tickle their ears. They'll come. They'll pay their money. Well, what good is that? That's a waste of my time and yours too. Of course, I could own a big fancy house or something maybe. But what good's that going to do me when I stand before God? You see, I have this problem working in me. Someday, I've got to stand before God and give account. And that scares the thunder out of me. Huh? Ought to scare you too. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Do you know what fables mean? Fables is the word from which mythology is derived. And it is nothing necessarily false in a myth. It is that which is fabricated by the mindset over against the real and actual truth. So what we do is we're going to formulate a tickling ear doctrine. How do we do this? We take something that is truth and we fableize it. We make it sound better. We water it down until it doesn't, it has a shred of truth, but really it's a lie. It has a shred of truth, but it really is not going to get you ready for the kingdom of God. It's a shred of truth, but when the trumpet sounds, you may miss it. God is so good. Yeah, he is. But he expects his children to adhere to his word. I could dig deeper than that, but I think I won't. Turn with me to Peter. 2 Peter, by the way. We'll be closing in just a moment. When I get done with you. 2 Peter 2 tells us of the merchandise church. The church that feeds on its own congregation.
Now, that's every church in the land, preacher. They all take offerings, and you just took one a few moments ago.
Yep. That's also a command of God, is tithe and offerings. I don't get around that. But let me tell you something. There are people out here that are using people. People who are retired that send in their checks and almost live on nothing, and then they go out and blow it and make fun of the people that they're living off of. It's called the merchandise church. Let me share it with you in the Word. Here's how it goes. In the first verse it says, 2 Peter 2, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. I didn't know. You know what a heresy is? It is a form of religious worship. Heresy is a form of religious service. Of course, it's also when one person believes differently than everybody else, then he's a heretic, whether he's right or wrong. But it is a form of religious worship. And I thought, wow, boy, that's from the Greek. And even denying the Lord that brought them and bring up upon them swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Now, I didn't know what pernicious meant, so I had to look it up. See, I'm not very smart, so I got to figure it out. I got to go look it up. Some of you didn't know what pernicious means either. So I'm among company. It means readiness for all pleasure. Oh, I can't come to the church today, Pastor, because I think there's something pleasurable going on. Do you realize that I have a hobby and I have a diversion away from reality, I guess you would call a hobby. That's probably what a hobby is. It's a diversion from reality. I mean, it's a time to fantasize or something, see? I can fantasize I'm a railroad engineer sometimes. And it's just a fun thing to do. But, you see, my hobby operates on Sunday. Guess what happens? On Saturday, the hobby does all the hard work. On Sunday, the hobby plays. Guess what days I get to go? I get to go on the work days. I never get to go on the play days. Well, why? I don't understand it, but every time the hobby wants to do something, it's on Sunday. And then the hobby wrote me a letter. The hobby said, we're going to have a time to come together, and we really want you there. It's on Wednesday night. And I wrote him a letter. I wrote the hobby a letter, and I said, hey, hobby, I'm not available on Wednesday night. And I think I'm going to get that portion of the hobby to change his mind and get on a Monday night or something. Well, isn't that something? Everything you'd really like to do is always on Sunday. Do you realize that in this four-day holiday, guess what the biggest day of this holiday is? Today's when most of the goodies are going on. Tomorrow it kind of slacks off. You got there too late if you get there on Monday. It takes a real dedication to get into the house of God on Sunday. You've got to work at it. It don't come naturally. There's this pull here, and this pull there, and this pull over here, and you're pulled in every direction, but you gotta say, hey, my desire is unto the Lord. Well, why do we have to be in the house of God? I'm glad you asked that question, because I'm going to answer it here directly, and I know it's noon. I'm hurrying. But pernicious is readiness for all pleasure, and it says, so, and many shall follow their pernicious ways or their desirable ways for pleasure, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And it says, and through covetousness shall they with fiend words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. The merchandising church wants you. The counterfeit church wants you. The counterfeit miracle church wants you. The ear-scratching church wants you. But let me tell you something. There is a church that teaches the truth, and that's where you want to be. The Bible says that you should have a strong desire for truth. A strong desire for truth. It is a must. So how many churches are there? There's the counterfeit church, the counterfeit miracle church, the ear-scratching church, the merchandise church, and the truth church. Well, where do I find these truth churches? You got to look for them. Hey, you got to look for them. They're like a needle in a haystack. A lot of people like to go to some big churches because it is the in place to go. It's the fad church.
Well, I go to so-and-so church, man. You know, that's the place to be right now.
Is it? I hope so. I hope they're preaching and teaching the truth there. And the truth doesn't always go down easy. Sometimes it hurts on its way down. See, you like to hurt people? Uh-uh. I like to encourage people, and I like to see them progress, and I like to speak a positive gospel and all that. But sometimes there's a few spankings that go along with that. I get spanked, don't you? I say, well, now, wait a minute. What are you talking about a minute ago. Well, what's the great need of being in church? Let me tell you something. If you find a truth church, you need to get into that church and help it. Well, how do I do that? I mean, do I get up and be the assistant pastor or something? No. By your attendance, you begin to make a solid foundation for that church. You know what's discouraging? It discourages all those in leadership, all those that minister by song and by music, and by all those that work. When you work so hard and there's a few people out there half asleep. I mean, there's something great about coming into a church that's alive. I don't like dead churches, man. I get so miserable in a dead church because I feel death trying to come on me. Sit in the pew and it's... Will this ever get over? I like to go to a church, and you've been there 3 hours, and you look at your watch and say, my word, we've been 3 hours. I know we've been here half hour. And 3 hours. Wow, man. You don't mind going to church if you go there to get something. If you go there to receive truth. And then if you do find truth, you ought to get in there and back it. You ought to be in the house of God, because the more that are there, the more fun it gets, the more alive it gets, the more extreme it gets, the more that we're ready to worship God. I found this to be truth, man. I've gone to camp meetings where there were thousands of people there, and the minute that they start the music, everybody's, whoa, praise God, praise God, praise God, whoa, wee hee hee. You go into a church, and you can have that same orchestra, and there's about five people in the congregation. It's what? Because the more people that are there, the more exciting it becomes. The more there is fellowship. The more we're ready to meet God. I don't know what it is, but there's something to it. And if you find your church that is a good church that is giving truth, you need to be there and back it. You need to be there and build it up. You need to be there at the services to make it happen. Because whenever people come in off the street or visitors come and they come in and they find a live church and they go, wow, I think I'd like to return. But if they walk in and it's just like any other church, oh, well, it's just another one marked off the list. Hello? Hello? We should desire truth. We should be faithful to truth. You say, well, now, preacher, you just preached a hard sermon to all of us and we broke up our holiday weekend to be here. Yeah, but some of you wasn't planning to be here tonight, and I pray God he just boots you all over the place till you're here tonight. some of you were making plans this afternoon of pernicious ways. You ask the Lord which he'd rather you do, have your pernicious ways or be in the house of God tonight. When you get into your pernicious ways, say, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. Oh man, you're bad, preacher. Oh well, it's not my word. What am I saying in all this? My friends, there's a lot of churches out there, and just because they hang a cross on the door or something, that don't mean it's a place for you to be. You better, do you really want to go when Jesus comes? Do you want to live a victorious Christian life? Or do you just want your ears tickled? Or no, itching ears, scratched, that's what it is. You want your ears scratched a little and that's all? Or would you like to have a good, full-blown, mindful, something that gets down into the spirit and begins to work on you? What is it you really want out of your Christian walk? Well, I really want the truth. Well, then if you do, get into a truth-seeking church and stay with it and get with it. Well, I just kind of like to play around church. Well, there are a lot of them. You can find them. They're not hard to find. What do you really want? Do you really want to walk with God, or do you just really want to play? Father, I delivered it. Man, I knew this was going to be one of those tough ones whenever you told me about it. But what can I do? You told me to share it. I shared it. It's off my shoulders. Now if nobody's here tonight, hey, they're having their pernicious ways. But Father, if they're here tonight, they've come back for truth. And I hope that they do come back for truth. Father, we pray that you would move in a mighty way here in this congregation. I want you to speak to hearts, Father. I want you to speak to hearts. Every heart that is here. I want them to ask questions about themselves. Where am I with God in this? Where am I with God? Do I really want truth, or do I just really... What has been my attitude? Maybe I ought to stop and think. Father, make them stop and think. Where's been my attitude? Where has it been? Have I really had a dedication to self-sacrifice? Or have I just been floating out here in space somewhere, just not paying attention to where I'm at? The Lord just showed me an illustration. I'm going to share it with you real quick here. How would you like to get on a train or an airplane or a bus, and the engineer or the pilot or the driver had been traveling several hundred miles, and he goes, where are we? Can anybody tell us where we are? I'm going to tell you an experience I had. It was a very scary experience. I was out on a train with an engineer, and at that time, we didn't have any firemen, and I wasn't qualified to run the train. And he was the engineer, and I was up there all by myself with this man. And we were coming down into Kansas City, and it's traffic-wise on the railroad, very heavy, and it's downhill, and it's a treacherous place. And the engineer looked over at me, and he says, well, let's see now. We ought to be approaching Lydia Avenue here any second, huh? And I realized the man didn't know where he was. Because when he said that to me, I knew that he was off on some other railroad somewhere. And I jumped to my feet and I said, listen, we're coming down through Kansas City Terminal. Don't you know where you're at? Oh, okay. And I started praying. Because I could just see us getting down in there and running right through the side of another train. That scared me. I thought, my life is threatened. This man don't know where he is. How many of you would like to have been riding a train where the engineer didn't know where he was? And yet, God's people are on a trip to glory, and they never give it a second thought. I don't know where I'm at. I really haven't given a thought. Well, maybe you ought to. That's scarier than losing your life, my friend, because if you get caught out there in no man's land and you lose out with God, it's hell for eternity. It's not just a hurt, it's forever. I wonder, while your heads are bowed, I wonder how many here this morning say, "Preacher, hey, I'm not where I ought to be with God. I'm not saved. I'm not a Christian. I'm away from God, and I need to line up my life with Him right now. I need to get with God's program." Anyone here?
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.